Hi, you are now listening to a sermon from Harvest Community Church in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Today you will hear a sermon from Pastor Dave Lee, so without further ado, here he is.
What an amazing thing it's been that this is the last thing I thought I'd be doing for a living when I was a young kid, and I've gotten to spend 30 years of my life, pretty much my whole adult life, doing this. What a sense of privilege has gripped me. I want to invite someone up who's also spent their whole life here. And she's going to read the scripture passage for us today. I want to invite Amanda, who is literally born into this church, has grown up in this church, passed through every life stage ministry, and is now leading our young adult ministry. Amanda's going to read the Word of God for us this morning.
Good morning. I'll be reading from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Verse 29, this is the word of the Lord. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let the trees of the forest sing. Let them sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Thanks, Amanda. For months now, many in our church, we've been reflecting on the faithfulness of God over the years. And we've been thinking about memories. I think one of the best parts of that video was that it didn't keep the camera on one scene for very long, but it was just almost like a blur, the moments that add up to a story. And there have been so many amazing moments here at Harvest. I don't know if you realize, but last Sunday we asked you guys to fill out little cards sharing some of your memories and the blessings of being at Harvest. And we collected back 104 cards. And of those 104 cards, 49 of you have been here for 15 years or longer. That's pretty amazing in this day and age of temporary things to see nearly half of the people who responded have seen half of the story of this church's history. And I hope that many more of you will stick around to see the next 30 years, that this is a church you can help us figure out what God is doing through us and be a part of it for the rest of your lives. You know, as we celebrate 30 years, the theme that we've chosen is the goodness and glory of God. And this is the word of God, right? That this is what God is to us. He displays his goodness and he displays his glory. And we as the church are meant to respond to his goodness and to his glory. I've chosen for the passage this morning, 1 Chronicles 16, because it records a really beautiful praise song written by the very first worship team that Israel had commissioned under King David. I'm so thankful that we have people who have the gift of music. I do not, but I'm so thankful that we've had so many people over the years at Harvest who are really good at music. If you're ever wondering why your parents make you take musical instruments, a part of that answer might be that someday you're going to make music for God's glory, and I'm really grateful for that. And these guys wrote a song under David's leadership that told the story of God's faithfulness to Israel. And in that song, he talks about the goodness that God has shown, and he talks about the glory that God has revealed to his people. And they wrote this song on the occasion where the Ark of the Covenant. Does anyone know what that is? The Ark of the Covenant was a really big box in which was contained the tablets, the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. It was a physical object that represented that God is actually here with us. Where the Ark was, the presence of God would go. And the Ark had been lost to them for a time, but it had just been returned to Jerusalem. And all of Jerusalem and all the people of Israel were rejoicing that once again God was in his place among his people, and it brought joy and peace and confidence to them because God was with us as we set forth to build this city and this nation. I think that really does capture our heart as we think about closing the books on the first 30 years of our church and opening the doors to the next 30 years. God has shown us his goodness and his glory, and not just to us as a church. I think if you really think about your own life, you will see very clearly that God has shown his goodness to you, and he's also revealed his glory to you. The question I want to explore this morning is, how do we respond to that? Because God has shown us his goodness and glory because he's a good and faithful father. He's treated us this way because we are the children that he loves. How many of you are parents? Just raise your hands. Okay. So we have, if you have a parent, you know that. How many of you have parents? All of you, raise your hand. Right. So if you have parents, you know this. You don't bless your children so that they will mindlessly obey you or be afraid of you or do what you want. But what you hope for them is that somehow they will see that they didn't get there on their own, that they have received so much care, so much sacrifice. And you don't want them to fear you or just to obey you, but just to acknowledge, thank you. I didn't get here by myself. I owe much to you, and I want to honor you and the things you've done for me. I think that's all any parent ever really wants, is to know that everything they poured into their children has been acknowledged and somehow responded to in a meaningful way. If you're sitting here today and you've made it past childhood, past your teenage years, and you still walk with Jesus, know Jesus, love Jesus, can you just take a moment to acknowledge that probably someone in your life, most likely your mother or your father or both, have been faithful to witness to you, to love you, to represent God the Father to you in some way. And that's why you haven't run away. You're still here in the faith. That's my story for sure. I know it's a story for many of you. And if it wasn't your story with your parents, it can be your children's story with you as their parents. How do we then respond to God our Father in a way that we can be faithful children? Not entitled, not spoiled, but faithful children who acknowledge that we didn't get here by ourselves, but we have had an amazing God who's shown us his goodness and his glory. I've got only a little time this morning, so I want you to buckle your seatbelts, go along with me. Let's look at how we respond to the goodness of God. When somebody has been good to you, what's the usual way that you respond? What do you say? Thank you. Yeah, that's right. And that's how this passage starts. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? Not just for the good stuff he's given, but first give thanks to the Lord because he is good and his love endures forever. Whenever someone's in charge of you, whether it's a parent or a boss, a pastor, a teacher, aren't you always glad when that person turns out to be really nice? When I was a kid in school, that was what every first day of school was like, is, are my teachers going to be nice this year? Is my professor going to be a decent person this year? Are the people who have authority and control over me good people or horrible people? And that shapes so much of your life. Aren't you so happy when the people who are in charge of you turn out to be kind, fair, loving people? And that's the one thing, is we take it for granted that God should be like this. But he didn't have to be. It's amazing that the most powerful being in all of existence chooses to be good and to be loving when, if he had all that power, he could just as easily have been evil and hateful and destructive, but he is not. Just that by itself should fill our hearts with thankfulness, because God could have been anything, and he chose to be a good father, a God of love and goodness towards us. He didn't have to be that way, but he is that way. And so we give thanks to God to say thank you for being the kind of father that you are to us. Then the passage goes on, the song continues, that I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. While we were singing this morning, a strange thought occurred to me. I think this is the only place in my whole life where I sing in a group with other people. It used to be more commonplace back in the old days in Europe and throughout America and many other parts of the world. Today it still is, where people gather just for social reasons and they just start bursting out in song and they sing together. That doesn't happen anymore. So don't you think it's a little weird that you come to church on Sunday and it's the only place in your life where you just start singing out loud? And I know if you're newer to the faith, that's one of the weirdest parts of this whole deal, isn't it? It's like, what is going on? And if you're not saved, if you're not a believer, it's a hard thing to join in because you're like, I don't know why I would be singing this stuff. Do you want to know why we sing in church? I mean, some of you hate this part because you're like, I have a terrible singing voice. I'm going to spare you from the... And some of you just aren't that into music. I know there are people who don't even show up to church until they think the singing is done, and then they walk in from the car. I understand that you may not like singing, but I want to just tell you that the singing in church is not about the singing. It's not about our love of music, but it's one of the ways that we add emotion to express to God what he's done for us and who he's been. In every case where we're commanded to sing in the Bible, it's not singing because you love music or because you're so feeling in a great mood. We're called to sing because we're telling God and each other how great God has been to his people. Singing is a form of worship. It's not a form of fellowship. It's a form of worship. We sing not to each other primarily, but to God. And then in the hearing of one another, we sing what God is like, because that's one way we tell the truth. And you know that you could say the words of a song, but somehow when you sing it, there's emotion. And that's why I think most of us are more moved by love songs than by love poems. Would you agree? Wouldn't you rather have somebody play a song that's beautiful than start just reading the lyrics to you? And there's something about music that captures the heart. So we sing whether we're good singers or not. We sing whether we're in the mood to sing or not, because in all times, in all circumstances, God is good. And one way we respond is by singing. Let me just give a word to those who don't really like singing, still not sold out. How many of you have been to a birthday party before? That's one other place where we sing in groups. I think it might be the only other place. And can we just agree together? That's some of the worst singing you're going to ever hear in your life. Have you ever been to a birthday party where they sang happy birthday to you in tune, on key? It's usually one person, usually the most socially outgoing but worst singer, who goes, let's go, happy birthday to you. And everyone else just belts it out. No one can sing, but nobody cares. Do you know why nobody cares? It's not about the quality of the music. We're belting it out because it's their big day and we love this person. And I don't care how I sound, I'm going to sing to you because it's an expression of love to you. That is why we sing in church. It's one of the ways we respond to the amazing goodness of God as we sing with our terrible voices. Go, God, forgive the voice, but I got to just say it. You are an amazing God. And we sang songs like that this morning, didn't we? As a matter of fact, when you continue to look at this passage, David and Asaph, the songwriters, they're commanding all of creation to sing to God. Everything in nature sings to God. And nature, just like our lives, has ugly moments, has times when, you know, like when the snow has just turned to slush, it's all gross. Nature has moments like that, but nature also has moments of breathtaking beauty where everything is new and whole and clean and beautiful, and we're so drawn to it, aren't we? The last two trips I've taken, I've paid money to go out into nature and walk in forests and climb mountains because Jeannie is suddenly obsessed with hiking. And all she wants to see is mountains and trees. And we pay money to go see that stuff up close. And when we get to the top of the summit, our breath gets taken away. And we think, this beauty that I see points me to the one who made it. All nature sings and reminds us of the goodness of our God. That's why we're so drawn to those places. And we mark them out as monuments or as national parks, protected regions, because all creation sings exuberantly to remind us none of this got here by itself. It was made by someone who gave it to us because he is good and he is full of love. So much more could be said, but I think these are three important ways that we respond when God shows us his goodness, is we thank him for being good. We sing to him because it's one way we express, regardless of our talent, you are worthy to hear these words. And then when you look at Psalm 23:6, it says, surely goodness, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will what? Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you find someone whose love is real, when you find someone who's truly good, you don't leave them. That's a keeper. And you stay with that person for the rest of your days. That's what we're all looking for. And what the psalmist is telling us is in the person of God, our good Father, we have found this Father who is so good and so full of love, we are at peace dwelling in his house for the rest of our lives. This is not a season or a phase I'm going through because I'm young. I'm not in my Christian thing right now. I have found a God so good that my ultimate response to him is I will stay with him for the rest of my life. I'm not wandering from this place. I am not leaving his house. He is my Father, and I am home with him. I will not think of this as a season or a phase, but I am going to walk with God all the days of my life. This is, to me, the ultimate expression of a response to God's goodness. Is I have no need for anyone else. I am here where I belong with you. With you, I am finally home. And I will not ever leave. How do we respond to the glory of God? Well, looking at that video, I think about how many holy moments have happened here at Harvest. How many of you wandered into this building just thinking, I just got to go to church somewhere, and then along the way met people or heard something or had a moment with God that so arrested you, you felt like you couldn't leave. You needed to stay and see where God was taking you. Lives have been turned around at this church. Marriages have been saved at this church. People who had no reason to live have found their purpose at this church. There is no perfect church, but God, in all his goodness, has made the only good things in the history of the church are from God's hand directly. He has created in this church over 30 years thousands of holy moments where people's lives could have gone either way, and they chose a fork in the road that took them closer to the one who loves them most. The Hebrew word for glory, does anyone know it? I will give you a candy bar if you know the Hebrew word for glory. Somebody? All right. I thought maybe somebody had gone to seminary and would shout it out. It's kavod. Say it with me. Kavod. Kavod. You know what that word actually means in Hebrew? Heavy. Weighty. By that definition, I'm becoming more glorious every day. Over the last 30 years, I've become 28 pounds more glorious. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory means weight or heaviness in the sense that when somebody or something that is profound, transcendent, enters your space, you can't ignore it. It's almost like the air gets heavier. Do you know what I'm describing here? Like when a person enters who's truly important, the atmosphere in the room changes. I remember the days when Michael Jordan was playing for the Bulls, and I had the privilege of seeing him in the old house before the United Center, and they started with all that lights and everything, and it was a lot of hype, but the minute Jordan entered the arena onto the floor, the place felt different, and that's just a guy who throws a ball into a ring. But still, he did it so well, it felt like we were among somebody transcendent. When we call God
glorious, when we describe his glory, what we mean is when God enters a space, the place gets heavy. It's a word that describes that God is an important being and his presence is something serious. And if that's how we describe glory, how do we respond to the glory of God at our church? How do we respond to the glory of God in our lives? Well, one way that the song tells us is to ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. That's really fancy language of saying simply this: show your God the respect he deserves. Don't make God trivial. Don't treat, you know, there's this thing these days where even though I'm your father, one of my kids still calls me bruh. I think it's a term of endearment. I get it. But you know what? Sometimes I just want to go, hey, I'm your father, not your bruh. I think we have lost all sense. We've become so ingrained in equality, we've even made God our equal. Hey, what's up, bruh? Sky, bruh? Heaven, bruh? Do you realize that God is not your bro? God is a being of infinite worth, so different than you, so much higher than you. And when he enters your space, what he demands, not just from his mouth, but from his very existence, is a recognition of who he is. We're better off when we actually recognize who God is. We're not meant to treat God in overly familiar ways, but to say to him, you deserve respect. I don't know how you show respect. Every generation, every culture is different. But however you decided, when I, Dave Lee, show respect to another being, this is what it looks like. Figure that out for yourself. And when you are in God's presence, do that towards him. Show God respect that's different than you show anyone else. It could be something as small as what time you show up to this place. I know that most of us hate it when someone's late to meet us. Have you ever been the jerk at the restaurant or the coffee shop for 15 minutes going, you were supposed to be here like 10 minutes ago. How do you feel when you're waiting for someone who's late to see you? Well, I don't just mean bad. Like, what is the feeling that evokes? So I'm not that important. You're just like, whatever, sit at a coffee shop. I'll get there when I get there. And you feel disrespected by someone's tardiness, unless, of course, they had a situation they couldn't help, which they always do, right? I think it's something as simple as just saying, if we gather to worship God at 10, that's when we get there. It's such a small thing. It's how we dress. Am I dressing to be seen by other people? Or am I dressing in a way that's appropriate to go and be with someone who I revere? These are small things. I'm just scratching the surface, but we eventually get to the place of the heart. Even the attitude and posture of your heart, whenever we are in God's presence, one of the things that we do to respond to his glory is to show him the most respect we can offer another being, because that's one way we recognize, God, you're not like anyone else, and I'm going to treat you differently. You deserve the best respect that I can give. I'm almost done. The song continues. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. And then it says, bring an offering and come before him and worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. And I'll end with this. In one sense, we always come to God empty-handed. We don't say, look at all the good things I did for you. Look at all the things I gave up for you. It doesn't matter to God because our sacrifice is not what saves us. His sacrifice saves us. So we always come to God not showing him everything that we've done to make ourselves look better. We come empty-handed and we come to receive from God worth and blessing and love. But at the same time, we don't come to God empty-handed in the sense that we just drag ourselves in. We come saying, God, you are a God who's given so much. I want to bring you an offering. This is not payment. This is an offering. You know, there are times when I get invited to a birthday party of someone who's a friend of a friend of a friend, and I'm not even sure why I got invited. And sometimes if I just am in a hurry, I'll be like, shoot, I did not remember to bring a gift. I was so busy, and I said, I'm just going to pop my face in there, say hello. And I feel bad, but I don't feel that bad. Not because I'm a jerk, but because I don't know that person that well. But if I came to my mother's birthday party, my father's birthday party, and I had forgotten to bring a gift, I would feel crummy because my love for this person required that I not come empty-handed. It's not like I had to. If you know my parents, they would be happier if I didn't bring a present. They get mad every time I try to give them something. But my heart says, how do I show what a person is worth to me? I struggle with, how do I show you what you mean to me? And one of the ways God's given us is simply to bring an offering. What is that offering that we bring? Well, this is not the part of the service where the preacher goes, bring your money. Money is not even the most, it's not even close to the most important offering we bring. Aren't you glad? Because some of us have a lot, some of us don't have much. What we can bring is what we all have. The greatest offering we bring is ourselves. The one thing we all have exactly the same amount of is 24 hours in a day. We each have control over our own beings, our own time, our own lives, and we bring ourselves as an offering to God when we see His glory. And we say, if you want me, if you need something from me, if there's something that needs doing, what I bring to you out of respect for you is to say, I will be one of the people to do it. Thousands before you have said yes in exactly that situation. It's amazing to me that thousands have passed through this church in 30 years. We don't have thousands today, but thousands have passed through. And so many said yes when God put out the call. You know what I love about today's celebration? So many of you also said that simple yes. I offer what I can. Do you know today, your recognition of the glory of God may come in the form of a veggie tray. And you go, what's that? That is everything. That is everything. What that says is when something was needed, I did not say, hope someone else does it. I will scan that QR code. I will cut something up. I will prepare it. Even if it's as small as a veggie tray, that yes is the offering which God seeks as a recognition of the glory He has displayed, His worth, His importance, His heaviness and weight, is to say, God, I don't do this for other people. I do this for you. And you are worthy of this yes and 100 more. There are so many things that it takes to build a church. And not all those things are right up your alley, are they? But they matter to God. And I want to just encourage you, don't be the friend who says, have you ever had this friend? Hey, you want to go watch a movie with me? And what's their first question? The bad friend. What movie? When they ask what movie, that's not your best friend, all right? Your best friend doesn't care what movie it is, like, yes, because they're going to watch it with you. It's not about the movie. It's about who they're sitting with. That's your real friend. This is how we can be the friend of God. We don't say, hey, there's an opportunity to say yes to God. Oh, in what area? What is it? It shouldn't matter. If it matters to God, it matters to you. Clean up. I hate cleaning up. I know, but everyone hates cleaning up except me. I actually like cleaning up. Pofo loves cleaning up. It's a weird thing about being pastors, I guess, but it shouldn't matter if it's your area of passion. If it's an area of God's passion, the offering we bring is, God, if you want me, you have me. If you need me, I'll say yes, because I know who you are. This is the offering I hope all of us continue to bring in the next 30 years of our lives. The yes to God is our offering in recognition of His glory. There are yeses we have never learned to say well to the Lord. Areas that are uncomfortable for us, outside of our experience. But these are the things that weigh on the heart of God probably most heavily today are things that our church hasn't learned to do yet. We're going to seek to follow the Lord in those things. But it can't be done by three or four. It's got to be done by all of us together. Can I encourage you, as your default posture to God, to be one who every day carries into his presence the offering of yourself? It says, whatever you need, God, you've got me. I want to end so that we can go and party. The food is going to be good, and when you see the dessert spread that one of our sisters has prepared, you're going to think I'm lying when I said one of our sisters has prepared it. I mean, it's incredible. There's going to be active stuff for the kids to have fun with, and all of it is meant to celebrate one thing. We have a God who loves us. He's been so good to us. This God of glory hangs out with us all the time. When we go there, let's party in a way that remembers the one who we're celebrating. Let's talk about him. Let's do things for him. When you're invited to get up and do something that's uncomfortable, just do it. Just do it. Because we're there for him. We're there with him. We're celebrating him today. This church is not the story of any leader. It's a story of God written through thousands of lives. And he's not done writing it. With that, I just want to invite you to close your eyes and respond in your own heart to God. Have you seen his goodness? Do you need to respond to that goodness, or are you just taking advantage of that goodness? Have you seen his glory? How have you responded? How is he asking you to respond to his glory? He's a good father. What does it mean for us to be faithful children? Let's just quietly respond in that way from the quiet of our hearts. And then we'll close in a song.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Harvest Community Church. If you would like more information or have any questions or comments, check out our website at harvest-community.org. Thanks for listening.